The following content is intended for people who are blind or Brent-impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Envision hit the market several years ago. Initially designed as an app to help people with visual impairments read signs, product labels, and message boards, it has exploded into so much more. Today, we start the first of a two-part interview with Karthik Kannan, Chief Technology Officer, and Bob Sirian, North American Sales Manager, to talk about Envision AI. Hello, gentlemen, and thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having us here, Chris.
My pleasure. And first of all, I'm going to thank you, both of you, profusely for your time. It is greatly appreciated. I actually used the Envision app when it first came out. I was just happened to be going on a trip and thought, I'm going to give this thing a try. And it actually worked very well for me around the airport. So it was great. I enjoyed it and knew that there were going to be some big things coming down the road. Before we get into talking about Envision, do like to find out a little bit about the people behind it, and I'll let you guys kind of decide who wants to go first, but could you tell us a little bit about you guys?
Sure. So my name is Karthik, and I'm one of the founders of Envision. I know within the company, I play the role of a CTO, which is usually the guy who builds the product. But I also spend a lot of my time working with the community, and then wherever required, you know, just help with the day-to-day management of the company itself. And, you know, me and my co-founder, who's also called Karthik, the two of us started the company together in 2017, in late 2017. And then, you know, the first thing that we launched was the Envision app, and the first platform was, of course, iOS. We continue to iterate on the Envision app itself. And in 2020, we launched the Envision glasses, which is taking all of the good stuff that's there within the Envision, you know, platform as an app, then putting it onto, you know, smart glasses. So someone who is blind or visually impaired don't necessarily have to, hold a phone in one hand and a cane or a guide dog in the other hand. They could wear the glasses onto their face and then just go ahead and use it to read text, to recognize faces, and so on. So that's a little bit about me, a little bit about my background at Envision. So over to you, Bob.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bob Sirian. I'm the sales manager for North America, which means I run sales operations in the United States and Canada. I joined Envision almost 2 years ago. I've been in this industry, the blind and low vision industry, for about 9 years now. Prior to that, for many years, I did business development and sales management. I got tired a little bit of the grind and decided to sort of take my services and experiences and turn them into something that I could really be proud of on a daily basis. And when I joined Envision, I've really enjoyed what we do and who we support in our community. And we keep on coming up with great features on our device, and I really enjoy working with the Karthiks and other people on our team at Envision.
It just amazes me how a lot of the people that I talk with, they get into this field looking for something to do that makes a difference, and that is kind of the common thread to a lot of the assistive technology out there, and that people get into it, you know, to help a friend because a friend needed it, and there wasn't a solution, or just to get in to make a difference to a whole bunch of people. So that is just incredible. I can't wait to get into the Envision app, the glasses, and of course the newest feature, which is Ask Envision. But can you give us a little bit of the history behind Envision? How did it come to be?
Sure. You know, like you said, I think a lot of us who get into this space get in because we believe the work that we want to do should make an impact, right? Or the work we do should make an impact. And that's also one of the reasons why we got into this field. Me and my co-founder, though we don't have people in our, amongst our friends and family who are visually impaired, we don't have any of them, but though that was that is the case. But in 2016, what happened was we went to a school for the blind in India. This was in our hometown. And, you know, we went there to give a talk to kids graduating high school about what exactly it is to be a designer, what exactly it is to be an engineer or researcher. And, you know, the talk was supposed to be for about 30 minutes. And, you know, the main idea that I wanted to convey during the talk was to tell kids that being a designer or an engineer is not really a big thing. It's about basically waking up each day and solving problems for a living. And, you know, when you're a designer or a researcher, you're basically having a big to-do list of problems to solve, some of them big, some of them small. And if you solve enough number of problems in a row, you might, you know, go on to solve something really big, right? So that was the idea. And, you know, I just asked it, fairly innocent question after the talk as to what exactly would they like to go ahead and be or what problems would they like to solve when they grow up, right? And usually, you know, when I've spoken to other high school kids in the past, and, you know, usually when I talk to them, it's about solving big problems. It's about, you know, being able to cure cancer or being able to go to the moon. These are the kind of problems that you usually hear from, you know, young, very idealistic kids. Mm-hmm. But the kind of, you know, solutions or the kind of response that I got from the kids, you know, who were that, you know, in that school for visually impaired was dramatically different. They wanted to be able to read a book independently. They wanted to be able to go out independently. They wanted to be able to live by themselves independently. So things that a lot of sighted people take for granted were, you know, obstacles that these kids would spend a huge chunk of their lives trying to surmount, right? Trying to overcome. And that kind of, you know, led me and my co-founder to start talking about how we could take the latest advances in artificial intelligence, which was starting to become better than humans at tasks like being able to recognize faces or being able to recognize text, combine that with thoughtful, accessible design, and come up with a prototype that would, you know, aim to solve some of these problems, right? And it wasn't meant to be a company in the beginning. It was very simply just an idea, a prototype that we wanted to build and showcase to the world and say, hey, you know, these two technologies, especially artificial intelligence, is something that can be truly transformative in the accessibility space. You know, we just wanted to showcase that as a project. But over the course of building Envision as a project, as a prototype, a lot of users started to, or a lot of people who were using the prototype started to really encourage us and tell us that, hey, if you really want this to make a difference, if you really want this to have the kind of impact that you wish this thing has, it needs to be in the form of a company where you can put continuous effort into improving it and bringing it into the hands of more and more people. And so in 2017, I moved from India to the Netherlands to start Envision as a company along with my co-founder. And we initially, you know, our idea, you know, was to kind of put the Envision tech onto some kind of a wearable, you know. The early prototypes of Envision were very similar to the kind of your headset that you're wearing right now. You know, it was mm-hmm. like one of those Bluetooth headsets which you stick onto one side of the ear, and, you know, it would have a little camera on it, and then, you know, it was basically two naive people coming up with an idea for what, you know, electronics, what the hardware would look like, right? And mm-hmm. then once we started Envision as a company, we realized the reality is far, far different. You know, it's not as easy to build something, and hardware is super expensive, and it just won't really work out in terms of economics, and the technology wasn't there yet. So, you know, we needed to survive as a company, and so we thought, okay, let's just try and put this in as a smartphone app to begin with, because all visually impaired people, you know, most visually impaired people use smartphones, and we picked iOS as a platform because it's fairly popular amongst the community. So we started building the first version of the Envision iOS app, and we launched it in 2018. And we initially had that as a subscription service, so people could pay $5 per month to be able to use the app after a free 14-day trial. And as we continued to iterate and build out the iOS app, we got a lot of interest from the Android community. So we started building Envision for Android as well. And we are actually one of the very few apps. And in fact, I think we're the first app to be truly cross-platform, where you could use Envision on iOS, you could use Envision on Android as well. And in 2019, Our efforts into continuing to build the Android app paid off really well when we won the Google Play Award for the best accessibility experience. And so I went over to, the Google headquarters in California. My main motive there was to just, be present at the awards because we've never been nominated for such a big award. And we were nominated with, biggies like Be My Eyes or other big accessibility names who've been there for years before us. And so I thought the chances of, us were, winning were fairly slim, to be honest. So I thought, okay, best case scenario, we won the award. Worst case scenario, I get to try In-N-Out Burgers. So that was the goal. But we won the award, and it's when I started to really, shop the award around all over Google and trying to use it as an entry to try and talk to the folks at Google and say, hey, we've won this award, which you guys gave, and we believe that, the end of this particular app is not really on smartphones. It's on smart glasses. We'd love to put this onto some kind of a wearable. So a visually impaired person just doesn't have to, have the experience of holding a phone in one hand and a cane or a guide dog in the other hand and keep pointing their phone around. So it's a very cumbersome experience. And after a lot of, after just trying to get to talk to different people at Google, they finally agreed to go ahead and, give us a few pairs of the new version of the Google Glass that they've been working on. So this hardware comes with much better camera, has much better processors, and has a much better battery life. And so I remember taking about two or three glasses back with me to the Netherlands. And so I spent all of Christmas of 2019 porting, building a very early version of the Envision app on these glasses. And, around early 2020, we called in a few of our, testers in the Netherlands, and we decided to give them a pair, and just get to see if they're interested in using this stuff, get to see if the glasses make sense. And I still remember at the end of the testing session, there was one gentleman who tried to steal a pair of steal a prototype with him back home. So that was a good sign. Someone tries to steal your prototype, then you're onto something. So that's when we launched the Envision glasses in March of 2020. And we continue to build on the glasses. And in October of 2020, we shipped the first 100 pair of units to people across the world who pre-ordered the glasses. And ever since then, we've been, iterating on the glasses. We've been building it. I think every single year, it becomes a product that's completely unrecognizable from the previous year. And that's something that we take a lot of pride in because it shows how much we've evolved. If you ask the folks who pre-ordered the glasses, in 2020 and, as to how they would compare that version to this version, it's like comparing a Ford to a Ferrari. That's actually the word, the literal words that that one of our pre-order customers used. So yeah, that's the long and short of how Envision evolved.
That is an amazing history. I love it. And if you ever come, to the southern U.S., we'll take you to Five Guys.
Yeah, it's here in the Netherlands as well. The bacon shake. Oh my God, I didn't know such a thing. It's something that only the Americans can invent. That's what I believe.
Yeah, because we're all about inventing stuff that makes us fat and happy. You are listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. My name is Chris Skidmore, and we are talking with Karthik Kannan and Bob Sirian of Envision. And let's start out with the easy stuff, because you hit on the app, and you talked about how the app was how you got started, and that's actually my first experience with Envision. So let's talk about the app. What is the app, and what are some of its key features?
I would define it as a Swiss knife collection of AI tools that can help you go ahead and, say, read text, recognize mm-hmm. faces, recognize objects, detect colors. So there are about 12 or 13 different functions that the app can do at this point. But having said that, what people truly love about Envision, the app, is its ability to read and pretty much any piece of text that you can throw at it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can use it to read short pieces of text like, like food packaging or, street signs or shop signs and so on. But you can also use it to read really dense, complex documents. So you could use it to scan your letters. You could use it to scan magazines, newspaper articles. The app can read over 90 different languages. So, and apart from being able to scan documents, you can also import over 4 different types of formats into the Envision app. So you could import PDFs, EPUBs, Word documents. So we've made it a very, very powerful, comprehensive reading tool. And when it comes to reading, you could use it, you know, you can translate the text that you just read. You can save it within the Envision app, come back to it and read it later on. You can even share it as a PDF, as an accessible PDF to anybody else or anywhere else, you know, save it within the phone as well, because this is a feature that a lot of students tend to use, because sadly, you know, a lot of textbooks are still, you know, not accessible enough. You know, they come in PDF formats that are not very easily readable by screen readers. So a lot of times students just import it into the Envision app and then they save it as an accessible file and then they share it amongst their other visually impaired classmates, you know, who need help with it, right? So that's what the app can do. It's very, very good at reading text and it offers a whole bunch of other features apart from that as well. And you can, of course, share images from outside the app, within the app, and so on. We're also going to be coming out. We're there, like I said, on iOS and Android. We're there on tablets as well. And later this year, we're going to be coming out with a web version of the Envision app as well. So we're trying to be on as many platforms as possible. And apart from that, you know, when you use a device like a HumanWare tablet or a BlindShell smartphone, Envision is also available on those platforms as well as there. And one key thing to note is that in July of 2022, we made the Envision app entirely free, which means that you don't have to pay anymore to be able to use its features. And we're constantly improving the app and putting more stuff out there for people to use. And the main idea is to just try and make this tech, be available in as many hands as possible on as many platforms as possible.
Very nice. Very nice. And as one of the few Android users, thank you.
But Android is actually a huge, huge platform. Actually, in terms of raw numbers, Envision Android users are the highest in terms of, we have the most number of users from Android using the Envision app today, mostly because it's an extremely popular platform in places like India or other parts of Asia, or even now with Pixel being really good as a device. Some of the most advanced AI that we're running today on the Envision platform, we kind of optimize it pretty heavily for the Pixel set of series of devices or Samsung devices. I think Android is making some great strides in accessibility, so I'm quite excited to actually build on Android.
You touched on the languages and you kind of answered my next question, which was going to be that I had noticed the app recognizes 60 different languages? Is that correct?
Oh, at this point, 100 different languages.
Oh, excuse me, 100. I'm sorry. But that's incredible. And you said it also translates?
Yeah, you can also use it to go ahead and translate text from within the Envision app in over 40 different languages. And that works completely offline, so you don't need to use an internet connection for it. Yeah.
Oh, nice. How easy is the app to learn and use, and is it compatible with screen readers?
Yeah, the app is entirely compatible with screen readers, and I think it's a fairly easy app to use. It is a versatile app, and we try our best to make it as accessible as possible for across different age groups. I think it's a fairly easy app. There is a bit of a learning curve, I think, especially when it comes to if someone's never used an app to point and take pictures before, it is something that needs a little bit of getting used to. But in terms of just being able to get around the app and use it, we've made it as simple as possible. The app is entirely compatible with VoiceOver, TalkBack. It also works with Dynamic Type as well, and any and all other accessibility features that are there on both iOS and Android.
Okay, cool. Let's take this to the next level now. Like you said in the history, you came out a couple of years ago with the Envision glasses. What are the Envision glasses?
So the Envision glasses are basically a lot of the Envision apps tech, but on these Google Glasses or the Google Glass hardware, right? So that's the Envision glasses. Apart from having all of the features that I just outlined on the Envision app, such as being able to read all types of text, being able to read handwritten text in over 100 different languages from pretty much any printed surface, or being able to get descriptions of scenes, there are some things the glasses does that the app doesn't. One, you can make video calls directly from the glasses to a friend or a family member who needs help. For example, if you're outside and, if you need some help from a friend or family member, you can make what I call as an ally call directly from the glasses to them. And the friend or a family member basically sees the video feed from the glasses and hears the audio from the glasses and you as the glasses user gets to hear the audio from, you know, your friend or family member. So what we call as an ally, right? So that's one key feature that the glasses have, the app doesn't. What we've also done is we've kind of made the app, or the glasses as a platform, which basically means that, you know, we've invited other developers of assistive tech apps, you know, apps that are very much loved in the community, the Cash Reader app, for example, or Aira. And pretty soon we're going to be also having other popular apps like Be My Eyes also onto the glasses. So what we've done is we've made it into a platform, and we've gone ahead and also, you know, brought these other apps onto the Envision glasses. So when people buy a pair of Envision glasses, they not just get Envision's own tech, but they also get these other apps that they have come to love and use on smartphones. So that's another key feature of the glasses that are not there in the app. And lastly, of course, you know, we constantly put out cutting edge AI on the glasses. For example, the Ask Envision feature that we'll talk about sometime down the line is one such cutting edge stuff that we've been working on.
So let me ask a question about the glasses, because I know a little bit about the Google glasses. So when a person orders the Envision glasses, they get the glasses and then they go through a process of pairing it with their particular cell phone. Is that how that works? Or do they come with do they come with a cell phone? Do they come with the computing power for the app? How is that accomplished? How does that work?
The glasses are a standalone device. That's how I put it.
Right? Okay.
It's like wearing a computer on your face. You don't need to pull out your phone, or you don't need to connect glasses to a phone. You know, there are some types of glasses out there where, you know, there's annoying cord that comes from behind you and you plug it into a phone and, you know, the phone does all the processing. And so that's not how it works, right? The glasses are a completely standalone unit, and it works standalone. There are some features on the glasses which are offline, for example, being able to read short pieces of text. Those are all offline. And then there's some, you know, functions that work online, for example, scanning a document, and so on, right? And so when you first buy a pair of Envision glasses, the first step you do is you pair the glasses with your phone and with the Envision app on the phone, right? So the Envision app now behaves like a companion app to your glasses, right? And so you can go ahead and customize the UI of the glasses, adjust the preferences of the glasses, or if you want to add allies to make video calls, or if you want to, you know, go ahead and teach a face, for example, to the glasses, you can do all of that with the Envision app. And when people buy a pair of Envision glasses from us, the first step is we go ahead and ask them to sign up for a one-on-one onboarding session. So, you know, if you're a glasses user, when you take the glasses out of the case, you just need to charge them. And then we get on a call very similar to this kind of a call that we're having right now. And a representative from Envision will walk you through how to use the glasses, set up all of the features, and help you basically get the most out of it, right? So it's pairing the glasses, doing the onboarding, and then you're pretty much good to go with how to use the glasses.
Like I said, I know very, very little about the actual Google glasses. So I was curious to see if, they paired with a phone or if they worked via Wi-Fi with, you know, hotspots and stuff like that. So the fact that it pairs with your phone is kind of where I was going with that and wanted to find out. So, and it's a Bluetooth connection between the phone and the glasses, correct?
Correct. It is a Bluetooth connection between the phone and the glasses, but the glasses also have a standalone Wi-Fi capability built into them. So you can actually connect the glasses to an indoor Wi-Fi network if you're at home or if you're in the office, or you can also connect the glasses to a hotspot. You know, so if you have a hotspot plan in the US or, you know, rest of the world, and a hotspot comes by default, so you can just go ahead and connect the glasses to your hotspot service and then just use a hotspot.
Okay.
So there are both these options that are available to you.
Okay, that's awesome. Because one of the problems that I have with living in the mountains is that we have very spotty cell service. So, for example, at home, we use Wi-Fi calling for our cell phones. And then when we go out and do something, we have to be very careful about where we're going, because we do have areas around here that do not get any cell coverage whatsoever. So, you know, that was kind of why I was asking about Wi-Fi and you know, does it pair to the phone and all that. So thank you very much for that.
One of the key things we're trying to do with the glasses always is we're trying to make as much functionality work offline. You know, our aim is to make sure that the glasses are, you know, become more and more of a standalone device. And if there's really complex AI, only then do we actually go and, you know, require an internet connection to be the case. So, for example, we just released an update where you can also now scan documents entirely offline as well. So you don't need an internet connection to go ahead and scan documents. And scanning documents is actually the most popular feature on the glasses right now. So we're constantly bringing more stuff offline, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of the more complex AI offline in the coming months as well.
Okay, awesome. That was actually one of the things I used when I was playing with the Envision app several years ago. I would use it to read magazine articles that weren't available digitally. Being able to do that offline is great. Can the glasses be paired, because they're already paired via Bluetooth with the cell phone, can they also be paired with an external, for lack of a better word, headphone or speaker?
The glasses come with an onboard speaker through which you can get the audio, so that's the default option. You can also pair the glasses with the AirPods or Bluetooth speakers, so that's also a fairly popular option. What people do is they pair the glasses with their Aftershocks headphones, right? So if they're out and about, they can still hear clear audio, but they don't have to really, you know, block out their ears. People also go ahead and pair it with their AirPods as well if they have them. And so you can just pair it with a variety of Bluetooth devices. You can also pair the glasses with Bluetooth hearing aids.
Let's take the first of some quick test drives of the Envision app and give a listen to some of its key features. While I do not have a pair of the Envision glasses, I can demonstrate some of the features of the app available to Apple and Android smartphones and tablets. This particular demonstration is running on a Google Pixel 7. First up is the Instant Read feature.
Simply point the camera at the text you would like to read and let Envision do the rest.
Next is the Scan Text feature. Envision will guide you through the process of scanning a document, take a picture, and then read the text back to you.
No edges visible. All edges visible. Hold steady. Processing. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
Finally, you can use the Library feature to read a text document or PDF file on your mobile device. This feature may also come in handy when reading text embedded in an image.
Processing. Description: The Gray Eagle Inn. Worthwhile sounds. Present: Arnold Hill. Patio Show. Friday, August 18th, 2023.
That wraps up part one of our discussion about Envision AI. I'd like to thank Karthik Kannan and Bob Sirian for taking the time to talk with us about this amazing app. Be sure to tune in next time for more demonstrations along with the rest of our conversation as we learn about new and exciting features currently in development. In the meantime, if you would like to learn more about Envision AI, visit their website at letsenvision.com. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.